Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Oh, Tony, baby, you're a mess. Thank Grimes, it's Tuesday. It's time for Trend Lightly.
Are you ready?
The trending news podcast for anyone who is literally not an absolute virgin. Extremely online, extremely clueless, horny for Bitcoin.
Oh, baby.
You're in the right place. Now it's time to meet your host, the Irish-American Tornado, and the real Princess of Wales.
We are back.
Molly McAleer and Tiffany Maddox.
Welcome back to Trend Lightly. Well, not Trend Lightly. A Trend Lightly bonus with the co-host of my... Oh, I'm Molly McAleer, by the way. The co-host of our live show that we're doing in Hollywood on 3:30. It's March 30th. If you are British and flying into town or something for some reason, it's not the 30th month. It's March 30th. And it's at 8 p.m. at the Pack Theater. It is right by Three of Clubs, if you're familiar with it. We're doing half Vanderpump Rules recap, half Trend Lightly, meaning like focusing on the biggest show of the week. Rob Schulte, hey, how are you? Thanks for joining.
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm very excited for 3:30. The time and the date, because it means that shit's going to be happening. And I'm really looking forward to doing a live show again. It's been a minute. I think my last live show was over a year ago in Brooklyn.
So it's been a minute. So we got to get you back out on the stage. I mean, I don't think I've been on stage in years. It's been definitely pre-COVID. But that said, I feel at home there.
Okay. This is good.
A little false confidence, you know, just gassing myself up. This is what Kanye does, I think.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm probably going to write some hateful internet rants about Hailey Bieber shortly after we get off here.
That's what you're known for, right?
Yeah, you know, my long, hateful Hailey Bieber rants. For some reason, Kanye decided to go off on Hailey Bieber. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe because she's a Christian that didn't help him, I think.
But that's what Christians are supposed to do, help each other. Who knows?
They are. They are. But when it's enabling a, you know, manic episode, you do have to be.
Yeah, that might be a stipulation in the helping factor there for sure.
Well, we're going to do a little bit of a Vanderpump menagerie today. I did not come into this with a topic in mind because if you're a member of the Patreon, if you're not a member of the Patreon, if you just listen to this show, I don't always like to have a linear conversation. I just come to the table with thoughts. I want to do a little bit of a salon, a symposium, maybe even, if you will, where we sort of just maybe bat some ideas back and forth, catch up. It is the mid-season mark, and I know we've both been watching the after shows as well as been trying to listen to as much of Rachel Goes Rogue as possible. So that's been enjoyable. We're going to go get a little bit into it all. We just did your recap for the most recent episode, which was great.
Yes. Yes. I'm really into this because sometimes I need a virtual conversation pit of an episode. As you experienced on mine, I like get very into outlines and we're covering the episode. It's what the people want. But sometimes you just kind of like throw ideas out there and see what the hell happens. And I'm into it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you, especially where we are right now at the mid-season. It's been a slow first half. And I guess I want to start. You do a thing on your show called the Pumptini and the Pasta, which means it's basically your version of the Rose and the Thorn. What was the best? What was the worst? And so I want to know from you, so far this season, what has been, you think, the best sort of storyline to follow, the one to watch, so to speak? And what is the one that you just, you don't, why are we doing this?
And where they intersect, really. But I think the storyline to watch so far, and this is definitely part of recency bias, but is like how Schwartz is navigating this group. Because have your, you know, thoughts on Schwartz all you want, but like, he's the only person that's trying to like, in a very overt way, keep the show alive, like keep the friend, like they say it's like keep the friend group alive, but it is like he is trying to like bring people over, have a party, do this, do that. And the thing that I'm not into watching is a Sandoval redemption, which I'm not sure is like not like are they playing a magic trick on me? Are they saying like watch the Sandoval redemption while we throw some other storyline under the radar that comes out later? Maybe. But like from what we've seen so far in seven episodes, like I like watching Schwartz navigate and fail. And then also I don't like this Sandoval stuff.
Yeah. So like with the Sandoval redemption arc, I feel like it's a little bit of a false flag. It's like a red. Yeah. Like I don't think that the producers think it's possible to do a Sandoval redemption arc because he's like Jax now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, even it's like when Tom Sandoval says he's trying hard, it's like, okay. And whereas like there's other characters on the show where you still sort of would have that reaction because we know that these people can only go so far in their human development as displayed the last 11 seasons. But like with Sandoval, it's just so clear that he has that exact, like, this is the word that's overused, but like I think it really does apply, is like he has a real narcissistic issue. And those traits run strong.
Yeah. And yeah, everyone knows that like we're not going to get this aha moment where it's like, oh, well, now I get where Sandoval's coming from. But I feel like there's just a lot of wasted TV up until, you know, today's, the most recent episode of this week wasn't like amazing Vanderpump Rules, but it definitely was. Now we're cooking. Now some storylines are going. Now some like some arguments and some resolutions and some characters are being, and everything leading up to it was like the second episode of Lake Tahoe was one whole day in Tahoe. Like, it didn't even cut to like 2 days later. It was just us watching them do stuff in Tahoe. And it was not very exciting.
It wasn't very exciting. And again, it's sort of like all comes back to them just being a little bit older. This sort of thing that hangs above them that they can't really talk too much about.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that just like the whole Scandoval thing is really difficult to talk about because it's either a betrayal or it's like, I don't, yeah, we talked about it on your show. It feels like people can't do their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's important to want to be a good friend to Ariana, but also it's important to do your job, especially because these people might not have jobs for much longer at this rate. And yeah, I think it is, it does feel a little bit stagnant. What I really needed for this season was for Schwartz to say, fuck you. I mean, I think Greg, the reason why we haven't seen Schwartz and Sandy's is allegedly because Greg said he didn't want them filming there.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard too, but give me some Schwartz and Sandy's, you know, like I need Schwartz. Yeah. Okay. Put Sandy off to the side, but I think you're right. Telling Schwartz saying like, fuck you. Like, I need more of like what's really going on, because like even this was like the third time we've seen Sir in 7 episodes. So what are we doing? Like legitimately, like what are we doing? Is this the last season of Vanderpump Rules? Like, because yeah,
we've seen Tom a few times, and this is our, you're right, it's our first episode with Sir, and they have nowhere else they go except for just random businesses.
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't even talk on my episode about how, like, James has no storyline. He moved to Burbank, and so they show a plane every single time we're at his house. Like, he legitimately has nothing. And James lost his spark. Like, he used to be, like, really clever and quick and quick-witted and funny in that sense. But now he just, like, only wants to impress Allie, which isn't fun to watch.
Do you think that Ken knocked him spark out?
Yeah, I really do. I think that's what we think that he knocked him spark out, and he never relit any spark after that.
Yeah, like sometime in like late May, Ken just like absolutely gave him a shiner for like, yes, for what reason we don't know.
Yes.
But it had James tuck his tail under his legs, and he was probably wearing, it was probably mostly healed by the time cameras picked up, but it was probably still, he had some concealer or something on there. No, but you know, I will say that, ooh, I have a bad feeling about Hippie.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Graham Cracker is not a good name.
No.
That said, Hippie is not the right name for that dog.
No, not at all. Like, Graham Cracker, you can at least, the colors there, like, you can see where they're coming from with this. But Hippie feels like, the only thing I think when I think anyone, you know, younger than me, talking anything Hippie related, and I get that it like has to do with George Michael or whatever, but that TikTok of like those two kids that were like posing as like hippies essentially with like dreadlocks and baggy clothes and dancing to reggaeton or whatever, like that's what I think when anyone talks about like being a hippie or going to Coachella and trying to reenact the summer of love.
Yeah, it doesn't draw a pleasant mental image as a word. I do think it is funny when it's used as a slur. When, like, back in the day, it used to be like, goddamn hippies. Like, I do think it's funny when someone currently says, in today's day and age, because, like, it's not so politicized anymore. It's taken on a whole new corporate meaning to be a hippie. But, yeah, I mean, like, a dog that I feel like a pit bull could be a hippie. I mean, it has to be a big... It has to be a big breed dog to be a hippie.
I agree. My dog is very big and a pit bull, and his name is Elvis. And I feel like that is in the same vein of like a hippie, right? Like, give him a clever little name because it fits the suitable dog.
Exactly. And I did read that it is important if you're retraining a violent dog to give it a new name.
Oh, so, and I hear that makes sense. And I've also heard a name with two syllables.
Mm-hmm, I've heard that too. Two syllables. But yeah. My dog's name was Wag and Stuff. And I'm going to tell you what called him Wags. But I will tell you that if someone named their dog after my dog, I would not be happy to hear that. Like, there was one really cute little girl that I used to run into on Larchmont all the time when I lived in Koreatown when I would have Wagon Stuff with me. And I would always run into her and her dad, and she'd want to pet Wagon Stuff. And I randomly ran into them like a year later, and I didn't have Wagon Stuff with me, but the guy stopped me. He's like, "Are you Wagon Stuff's mom?" And he was, I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "We stole your dog name." And I was like, that's fine, because like, I love this little girl and like her, the way she interacted with Wagon Stuff. So like, that's absolutely fine. But anyone else, like, I don't want to hear that. So, I mean, how do we know George Michael would even want James to have a dog named Hippie?
I think James just wants to remind people that he's like has a cool person in his family.
And my godfather, George Michael. Yeah.
George Michael. It's not changing anything for us. You still live in Burbank in the flight path. So George Michael would be incensed to live in that neighborhood. But I like Burbank though.
Well,
I love that airport.
Burbank Airport's the best, but it's one of those things that you don't realize when you're like looking at the apartment or the house or whatever. You're like, you know, the realtor is definitely sure to take you by during a time of the day when there's no flights taking off from Burbank Airport. And I think that that's one of those things that it's only once you're in there that you realize like, oh fuck, for like, at least if I want to make my investment back plus, I got to hold on to this place for at least 6 years. Uh-huh. And that's going to be, that could wear me thin. My concern though, and what I liked about Allie dealing with it, was like, she's like, no, my cat comes first. Like,
yes,
this dog is a violent dog. Like, stop trying to push them together. Which, by the way, brings me back to when Tom Sandoval, what did he say? He said it on the after show when he was talking about how like sometimes you just need to bring people back together. And he's like, you know, it's kind of like if you have a cat and you get a new cat, like you just like put them in the same room together.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, it's like, no, that's not how it works, Tom Sandoval.
You put them in a separate room. I've already thought about it. Like, if I decide to really like ruin my life, aka like bring another pet into my life, which would be very disruptive to Pigeon, like, I already know what room I'd put them in. I've thought all about this, okay? But, like, you have to do pretty intensive, like, week or two of, like, swap training, and then they'll start to get curious, but, like, it's still not time to open the door. And Ariana seems to be a very responsible pet owner. And the fact that Tom, on the other side of that, thinks that you can just put cats in a room together is little surprising, but then again, he was the one who didn't go pick up Charlotte's medication.
Yeah, I think that it's surprising to think that like Tom would even say those words, but then you're like, well, think of everything Tom Sandoval has said recently, and this is like the least problematic, which is, I guess I'm just waiting for him to say another stupid thing or tell us how he gives an unhoused person $100 and runs off.
It rules when he does that, when he explains that's, I have the perfect way to do it. I say everyone, because he's trying to make up for his absurd generosity, which they touch on in this week's after show, where, you know, it's about, in this last episode, he gives James a pair of sunglasses. And James in the after show has such clarity on the moment and is laughing about how fucking cringe it was, where Tom like takes them off his head and sort of like looks at them, but like he says goodbye to them in almost a ceremonial way. And then is like, I want you to have these. And James is like just making fun of how phony Tom is. And it's it's like, to the bigger point of like, there's no redeeming him. Like, everyone has his fucking number. But Tom, you know, in trying to explain his history of generosity, says, you know, like, we find out that he had bought presents for the baby, and Lala said, like, you know, it now looking back, it's like really manipulative, because it's like, if he bought me a bracelet or something, that wouldn't mean anything to me. So he buys something for my kid. And Sheena said same, and she didn't include in this one for some reason the cash gift, but I think that it was more about like Tom, like with the ice cream and like with so many things, just showing up with gifts, with tampons at a wedding.
Did you hear that? Oh yes, but how are they tampons, or was that another pasta question?
Right. Yeah, like exactly.
Did you hear though that Tom also Venmo'd Kristen during the season, like Kristen's last season, I think, season 8?
No.
Because apparently, so Kristen had said this on her podcast that last season, season 8, Kristen had actually been demoted from cast member, and so was only making money on the days they asked her to film, which, as we've learned, is, you know, next to nothing for the time commitment and the emotional commitment you have to be on the show. And I guess, so Kristen kind of got blindsided in a scene with her and Stassi and Katie when they were like on the outs, but like had to do their Witches of WeHo wine event.
Oh, and yeah, that was painful.
Yeah. And Tom, like, I guess Venmo'd her a few $1,000, and she rejected it and was like, "Hey dude, I think you did this on accident." He was like, and apparently the story is that he was like, "No, it's unfair that you're getting paid a lot less," and had to put up with that bullshit because there was like a scene where Tom had to come in and talk with them. And like, this is that sort of also thing, you know, like Tom will pay for the extra hours of karaoke, right? He'll send someone $1,000 here and there. And the weird thing for me is like, it does feel like there's an ulterior motive, but it's the Kristen one I just thought was out of left field. Like, I never thought he would do something like that.
Well, I think that he hates Katie that much.
Ah, there it. Okay. Yes.
And I mean, like, I'm going to be real with you. Like, I find Kristen even more confounding as an individual than I do Katie, where I'm just like, how does this person have any friends? Like, yeah, they're so miserable. And Kristen, like, I'm always surprised how much she really is beloved within the cast, because she comes off like a kook.
Yeah. I mean,
even last season when she was supposed to be this, like, you know, godmother type for Ariana, like, she came off like a loon.
She showed up in slides and they did a spell for 30 seconds. Like, that is not the scene we wanted from Kristen in that episode, but that's the scene we got.
I do think that the audience wanted to hear them acknowledge that what Tom did with Ariana is what Tom was trying to do with Rachel.
Yeah. Do you think that we are going to get that in the Valley, like, backdoor pilot next week? I think it's next week. Yeah.
I mean, I'd argue that this week was a backdoor pilot, because I was like, who the fuck are these people? Like,
well, especially in the after show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the after show, they just started having random people being like, "Oh, Sheena's always like that." And it's like, who are you? You know what I mean?
Because I know we watched that, but it is this is like the backdoor pilot. This is like back porch to the backdoor pilot. It is, why are these people here? And why are we talking so little about the actual episode? And so much about like how these people know each other. Like, you don't have to convince me that these people like may or may not know each other. Like, the show's going to happen regardless. Like, I don't need to buy in on it.
I can't tell if it's like a good investment or not, because we really need all the Vanderpump content we can get right now if they want to keep people hooked enough for ratings to go up. Like, the after show is not something everyone's going to watch, but if you tell someone like, "Oh my God, something crazy happened on the after show," like, people are going to be more like, it just gives people more chances to want to go watch Vanderpump Rules. And it says a lot that they're sort of going into this other investment of a show versus taking this time when things are at such a sensitive point in the halfway point of it being, Because I'm going to be honest with you. The second half of the season doesn't look great either. Like, oh, what? Tom and Katie kiss the same girl? Like, gross. Yeah.
Sheena's like 22-year-old nanny for an episode. Like, give me a break. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I also think that is like such a story-driven moment. And, you know, whatever they're trying to do to like get another season, I get. But like when it is so painfully forced, it's like that can't be more than like a episode. Right. Because we know that they're also trying to like shoe in this like Joe and Schwartz, you know, relationship. But I don't know, man. I'm going to be honest with you now. And I think that the second half of the season does look better than the first.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
First half, but I wonder if that's just because everything we saw that was dramatic on the first trailer was like not ended up not being dramatic in the first half of this season. And it was like we were played for some of it. But I want to see Jax back on my Vanderpump Rules television, even if he is trash. And I want to see Kristen back there just because I want to see what the hell is going on. And I want some of these questions answered. I didn't, like you said, I could give a shit less about this after show party, but it's not how it's done. And I think we're only going to see how it's done next week, but I would really love to know your thoughts on like how they're going to address the something about her scenario, because that place, I'm going to quote something I saw online, and that is, it's now called Sandwiches Ain't Happening. And I was by there just the other day. I was visiting Peter at Sir, and I walked by and said, that place might as well have cardboard boxes taped to the windows. And people spent a lot of money on merch during Scandoval and a lot of money to help them get off the ground. And like, apparently people aren't getting merch. Like a lot of shit fell through. And I don't think the sandwich shop's opening. And I feel like that's, they're going to have to like address that at some point.
It does seem like a forgotten dream. And both of them are very publicly continuing. Like they're not even showing a soft sign. I will say the only thing is like, no, I definitely still want to do it.
Yeah.
Versus like, I don't know, I maybe would choose stronger wording if I had my full back thrown into making something happen. They're paying rent on that every month, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Unless like they were able to maybe break the lease for, you know, or like put a pause on it because maybe no one could go in there right now based on city zoning. But I don't know. Like it's, I really believe in Ariana, and I think she's a really good person. And I think this Sandoval stuff coming to her the way it did, like I always wanted Ariana to have the success she has. It sucks the way it came to her, for sure. Yeah. I also think it would be like really healthy if like more stuff started to come that didn't feel like it was a symptom of Scandoval.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like now that she's done the Broadway thing, I think maybe, or like, you know, even the Lifetime thing, like maybe that could get her hired less for the shock value, or like the, oh, like, you know, I'm going to get people in because it's this cameo from someone we really like, and more stuff on solid footing. And I think the sandwich shop could be a way for her to do that. But like, I really root for her. Katie, I don't care so much about one way or another.
Yeah.
But I will say that it has always been, I've always been sort of trepidatious about the odds of that happening, just because of, I used to live at Sunset and Doheny, which would mean that like, technically I could walk to Pump from my place.
Yeah.
And I just know I would drive up and down that section of Robertson quite frequently, and it always stood out to me what an absolute dead zone that place was between the little hardware street on Santa Monica down to where you finally hit like Melrose or the Beverly Center, like where that is, you know what I mean? So
yeah
I have had concerns about that location. And I think I've always said that, like, I think that Schwartz and Sandy's was the smart location. I don't know if that was the best part of the city for them to get bang for their buck. And yeah, I mean, I think it should have been a food truck.
Yeah, that would have been the perfect thing. The only thing I will say is that, like, it shuttered, but nothing else has gone in. So something's happening at something about her sandwiches. But it is... I mean, I think Ariana is going to move to New York, and we kind of alluded to it in my episode, but.
I agree with you. I think that, yeah, I agree with you. I think that LA has served a purpose for her. And she even said that the whole reason why, I saw this in some Broadway interview she did, like Broadway.com or something, that the whole reason she moved to LA is that so she could get the experience that she needed so that she could work in New York.
Oh, interesting.
She said Broadway was always the goal for me. So I think she wants to continue doing theater in New York, which I don't know is as well paying as the lifestyle she's accustomed to at this point. But I think that that would be a steadier long-term fan base for her. And I also think New York has like, I think it's more attuned to her energy, to be honest.
You know what I say? Do Broadway, live in New York. I'm speaking to Ariana directly right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make the jump to Summer House, you know, get some, you know, live the lifestyle.
Oh, I don't want that for her.
I'm saying if she has to transition out, at least it's a show where you film on the weekends and then you can have your weeks to yourself.
If they did like a Demi Housewives, like if they did a version of like young people in New York, like, I mean, I think Ariana is in her like she is housewife age on the younger side of housewife.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, I think that there could be a show about, or, you know, somewhere around there that she would do really well in. Like, I think that she could Lauren Conrad it. And
yeah, and like it or not, Bravo needs some new shows, not new casts. And I think that Crappy Lake definitely shows us that, and Ultimate Girls Trip, the ones that aired, show us that. So yeah, I'm totally with you. Give us another version of what Housewives could be with a different generation.
Wait, can I ask you, because I tried to listen to a podcast when I was getting ready the other day, but I was like really into doing my mascara or something, and I think I missed out on it. What exactly did Brandy do to Caroline Manzo?
I think, and I don't remember exactly, but I think there was like a night they were all partying and she essentially like put her hands in places that were not wanted. And it was not in a, like, if I'm remembering correctly, I think Brandy was just being silly, or at least claiming to just being like goofy and like giving her a lap dance or something like that. But Caroline just didn't want it. And does said, Caroline, get off, get
the- yeah, like, hello, does Caroline Manzo seem like someone who wants a fucking hand shoved up her skirt?
No shit. Like, and I think that's probably what it was. Like, Brandy's like trying to be like, you're too, you know, I'm just purely speculating here, but like, you're too straight laced. We're all here to have fun. It's the ultimate girls trip and they're goofing off and whatnot. But like, Brandy thinks that she can, you know, throw her weight around in a like queen bee sort of fashion, and it came back to bite her in the ass.
I'm like a long-term Brandy apologist. I did have a breaking point with her, I think, when she slapped Lisa in Amsterdam. But yeah. I do generally find myself to be a Brandy enjoyer, because I think that she's one of the people that seems to take life less seriously than some of the other people, for better or worse. Like, yeah, you could argue that it's a sign of deep immaturity. I also think that she's like major YOLO energy, but with that comes some deep-seated goblin energy.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so like, I could see her being like, so fucking what, like, I put my hand up her fucking skirt, you know what I mean? Like,
just
seems like who Brandy is. But I did start watching the New York Girls Ultimate Girls Trip, and I need to pick back up with that, because I'm sorry, it feels good to be back with my girls. I'll take Kristen Takeman, Pop of Color.
Yeah, I've watched a majority of that season so far. I need to pick it back up. Dorinda is Dorinda-ing. She didn't get fired. She got put on pause. And she's going to stand by that till the day she dies. No one would ever fire Dorinda, and that's hilarious to watch. And it's great. I think that, you know, if you want more Brandy Glanville in your life, though, you know, her on the Traitors was fun as well.
No, I have to go back and watch Traitors season one, because I just started. I really have a couple episodes left of season two, and I know it's over, and I know who wins, but I really enjoyed that show.
I'm telling you, and I texted this to you, and this is to anyone listening, the best season of The Traitors is Australian Traitors season two. And I know we're talking Vanderpump, but God damn it, that is some of the best television I have ever seen in my life.
Is that the one with the chick whose name begins with a C? Siri or something?
No, that is Suri, and she is on season one of American Traitors. And although there could be a sea woman on Australian Traitors, but this is it's just wild, because there's some Australian reality show people like Hannah from Below Deck Med, and then this guy named Luke from Survivor Australia that's been really great. But that's not even the point. The point is like how wild some of the quote normies get on it. It is truly, truly,
yeah,
incredible.
That's what I've heard, is people saying like The Traitors is best when it's regular people, because with people that have status of any kind, like, you know, the prize pot needs to be a lot higher because $200,000, especially after taxes. I mean, a lot of the people on this show have been doing reality competition for a very long time. And then, you know, like, do you remember on the challenge when Julie almost unhooked Veronica from her safety on?
Oh my God. Yes. I wouldn't have been able to pull it out of my ass, but I remember it now.
Do you know what the prize was for that?
No.
$10,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, Julie was willing to murder Veronica, which, by the way, Julie, I'm pretty sure the prize is exempt once you murder someone. Like,
yeah, I think when death is on the table.
Yeah, I don't think the producers will be like, congratulations, Julie. Like, you're going to next week and you have immunity and you won $10,000. Like, I don't think that's happening, honey. No. I think, like, the show's canceled. But, yeah, no.
Have to,
like,
go back to Utah when that happens.
Right back. And, like, I think the pot has to be a lot higher if you're going to do celebrities, because it's just, it's only your average real person that is going to say, okay, $100,000, this is a blood sport.
Yeah, exactly. It's like someone who, like, needs to make rent for the next year has lost their job to take this opportunity.
Yeah, like, I'm actually living in my car right now, and I was able to, you know, get a place to store my car while I came and did the traders. Like, this is my life. Like, yeah. that's who you need on the show. And then you need, like, someone who's, like, meticulous doctor who is, like, in retirement or something, who just has time to fuck around like that, you know? That's what you really need. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I by the way, I was thinking to myself, I think Sheena, Kristen, and Stassi would all be really good on the Traitors.
Yeah, I think the three people I wanted to go on the Traitors, and I believe Tiffany said this in a recent episode, that Trisha Paytas needs to go on, and I agree with that. And I thought Sheena should go on, and I think, and maybe it's because I'm biased and he's my buddy, but I just think Peter Madrigal should go on, because I just want to see Peter in that scenario where he has to play a game show and, like, try and read people. It would be hilarious to me.
It would be a little, do you think, maybe a little bit like Pilot Pete, where it's like his own kindness, like, got in the way of his best game?
Yes, I do think if he was a faithful, that would happen. And I think if Peter had to be a traitor on the show, that, like, he wouldn't, like, I think he would know what to do, but I think he would be so in his head about it that it would actually confuse people who are playing the game. Like, they wouldn't be able to tell if he was a faithful or a traitor, because he wouldn't know what to do. And I mean that in the most positive way possible.
I understand what you mean. I mean, I think that if, I don't know, if everyone went in willing to be a traitor on this season of the Traitors, I'm sure they were willing to be it at some point. But I thought that the traitors they picked from the very beginning were very on the nose.
Yeah. I thought it would have been Sandra, though, for sure. But
yeah, like, I'm like, just stick someone in who's a little too nice for this job, you know? Like, that's who we need in there, is someone who's really going to be biting their fingernails and, like, having emotional reactions. Because I think Peter would feel terrible, but he is a restaurant manager, so he's good at hiding panic on his face.
That's true. And you know, maybe one day people will actually listen to us and get us the cast we need, but Not yet.
So we're in, like, the final sprint of this episode, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you want to get to, we only have 15 minutes left, roughly. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Do you have any pumptinis for this season of Vanderpump Rules? We were like, yes, that, keep that going.
Yeah. Keep Joe going. I said that before, but I am so into her chaotic energy. And it is so, I feel like I haven't experienced a person like Joe since, like, sixth grade, and the kid during indoor recess who, like, climbed under the coats and would make like a pile of goats walk around. Like, that is Joe. And I need more of that on my TV. I need to see Jax Taylor again. I need to see Kristen. And I want to see Jax argue with Lisa. Like, I can't wait. I really want that. And I hope it brings me everything I need from this season, because this season needs a freaking adrenaline shot to the chest.
It does. And I agree with you that Joe might be the solution, because she just really, and I worry for Joe based off of what I've seen, because, like, as I said in our recap, like, I don't know if she's in the right spot for her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that she should probably be around different people. And like, Schwartz is a good introduction to that world, because he's literally just so friendly and so like, hey, man, like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, here's what we need. I think we need
every person I've ever met has Tom Schwartz's phone number in their phone.
Yeah. The one time I met Tom Schwartz was because I was wearing like an old TomTom shirt, and he came up to me and he was like, that's my favorite shirt we've ever made. Can we take a picture? I was like, this is not the way it's supposed to work, Schwartz, but okay. Yeah, let's do it.
The very first one they made.
Yeah. It's like got a woman holding flowers and.
I have the same one. I use it as my hair t-shirt. Like when I do my curls, like I plop my hair in it, and I hope I kept it in the move.
Mine has far too many holes in it these days, but you know, maybe we both wear them and bring them to the live show. The one thing I will say based on the Schwartz Joe conversation is that I want to see Joe's group of friends. And then maybe we can form a new spinoff where Schwartz hangs out with like the weird art school kids, and how Schwartz is the outsider there. That could be something I would be very much interested in.
I think it should be called It's Jover, and it should be about Tom Schwartz leaving behind his bachelor lifestyle and settling into an eclectic, strange little life with Joe. What I want to get at, though, with Joe, with you, because I think we're going to explore this more, a quote from the first trailer for this season was Joe yelling at Schwartz, are you embarrassed of me?
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know, because the way that they're talking about their relationship, it reminds me a lot of a situationship I was in my 20s. And the way we sort of spoke about each other when we had decided that we weren't going to be a thing, but like we both couldn't stay away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you knew me, you knew that person, and vice versa. Like, we were characters in each other's lives, but it was like inappropriate because we weren't going to date anymore. And all we did instead was like set up this strange codependency that was not going to last, because ultimately we didn't even like each other enough to be in a relationship. So
yeah,
I'm kind of here wondering, like, what's going to happen with Joe in that regard? Because I think based off the way they talked about it, with Joe being like, with Schwartz being like, oh, I don't know how long ago we slept together. And Joe being like, I don't know, like a month.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Like, Joe's presentation in the Talking Heads was crazy too. Like, it was just like, it was great because it was so refreshing. It was like they really found someone off Hollywood Boulevard or something.
Totally.
Like, we're just in that she didn't seem done. She didn't seem like she knew she was going to be in a talking head on camera.
Yeah, and like they pulled her in because she was just hanging out waiting for Schwartz to finish filming his talking heads. And like, Joe, we need your perspective.
Yeah, like you're, yeah, exactly. So that, and she was his ride there. But like, yeah. that's definitely an element that I think is really interesting. And I want to know what you think exactly is going on there, because she's handling this a little too cool, but also she's acting like a fucking freak. But then like Katie called her a creep. Like, do you think that maybe like Joe and Schwartz had a little thing going on maybe when he was still married? And Joe acts outside of herself and is sort of easy to label as weird.
Yeah, I think both of those things are partially true. I think Joe is one of those people that's like, I don't care what people think about me. And so I'm going to go over the top anyway, when really it's like masking some deep-seated insecurity to an extent. And I think Schwartz is a people pleaser. So he likes having someone that, quote, doesn't care what people think and like accepts him for who he is, but is also like performative. Like, she'd be like, buddy, you know.
Well, that's why he's dangerous, is because like he is having a sexual relationship with this person and that does involve him. And so when he is like absolving himself of the situation, be like, oh, I don't really know. It's like, you do know.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah. He knows what he wants with Joe, and he knows what the realistic situation is with Joe. And I don't think he wants to have that conversation with anyone else on the show, because especially Katie, because he just wants to be able to have his like little dog visits with Katie as well. And he doesn't want the like rage text to come through when she finds out that he actually has feelings for Joe, because what that's gonna do, my theory is that Katie will rage text Schwartz again, because Katie will be like, am I like Joe? If he now is in love with Joe, when the actuality is, and I think you said this, is that he is going for the exact opposite of Katie.
I also don't think he likes Joe. I think he assessed the scenario and knew that they weren't going to work out together.
I thought he was kind of keeping it just under wraps for the show. And then,
no, I think he is embarrassed by her. And I do read it as he like sort of one of those things where it's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I care for them deeply. It's just like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like,
gotcha.
You're being coy, but like essentially what you're saying is that this person's a piece of ass and like that's good enough for you right now. And that's, you know, I mean, like he's smart enough to know that that's a toxic thing to say.
Yeah.
And so I think that unfortunately Joe is also on the same page about this not being a relationship. But she's not so embarrassed by it that she's going to lie about when the last time they slept together was.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. She does get invited to the finale wrap party, though. Mm-hmm. We've seen her there, so we'll see. Maybe that's where she asks Schwartz if he's embarrassed by her.
I don't know. Do you know what that party is? Like, I thought I knew what it was. It's like an opening for something, or like an exhibit opening or something.
I don't know, but there's a DJ and there's a lot of alcohol and like people are dressed in tuxedos, so it feels like it's got to be some sort of like more than just someone released a single that is their friend that they're going to, like, it's not Hotel Ziggy, that's for sure.
No, it feels like Lisa's being inducted into something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, they're, you know what I mean? Like, not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or anything, but like, it's like, oh, Lisa's being honored at this thing.
Which, surprisingly, no Lisa to be found in any of those clips we've seen, though.
That's true. Oh, God. Do you remember when she got her star on the Palm Springs Walk of Fame?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I know someone who went to that filming, though. So I'll ask them what the event was and get back to you on it.
Ask them about the fight too, because I saw the like side of that being filmed and it was very central casting. Like, the guy who came in,
yeah,
seemed like he had, you know, it was like
They looked
for someone that had jujitsu experience or something on Central Casting and were like, oh, you can pretend to fight? Okay, good. Or like maybe
cause a scene and then that'll like get things shaken up.
Which is, I'm sorry, like a dark forecast on the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah. And then we get the couple of clips of the actual arguments that end up happening with people. And it's all the same shit.
Well, have you thought about who Vanderpump Robs is going to be if we live in a post-Vanderpump time? Are we going to the Valley? Are we staying in the Bravo world? Are we going to start doing Traitors? Like, where are we going?
I think I'm going to have to keep giving people what they love, you know, in terms of like recapping some reality shows, but maybe it becomes a little bit more liquid. You know, I love covering, you know, 90210 and Melrose Place as well. And I think those are precursors to why we watch Vanderpump Rules. Maybe there's a rewatch in my future for the entire series, you know, but I am at that crucial point on the Patreon where it's like people, like I'm not quite there enough to like know that I have a huge fan base that's going to tell me what I need to cover, but I have a dedicated fan base that I know want to stick with me through. So I gotta pick something that everyone wants and wants more of. So
well, here's the thought.
Yeah.
What about The Simple Life?
I would love that.
Because Kyle Richards is in the first episode, so it's not a crazy lateral move, and it's nostalgic, and it's reality TV.
Maybe I could test that out after this season and see how well it latches on with folks.
Yeah, or do a little poll. Say, I'm thinking about going this way or that way, and see what people say.
I love that. And I've never seen The Simple Life completely through.
I mean, it's much more of like a newlyweds era show where there's a lot of ADR loops and stuff like that. But I find that the best parts of Simple Life are in the details when it's just people that seem to be genuinely interacting with the fact that Paris Hilton and Lionel Richie's daughter, as she was known at the time, were there. So yeah, that'll be great. And Rob, thank you so much for coming on and doing this with me. Just like, it's really good to get our feels out, I think.
I know. I really appreciated it. I've been looking forward to it. And thank you for coming on Vanderpump Robs. This is really exciting. And I'm really thrilled that we get to do our live show here in just a matter of days.
Oh, dude, it's going to be so exciting. So you guys, March 30th at the Pack Theater in Hollywood. You can buy tickets right up to the minute on Eventbrite, which will be linked in the description. But you can also go up and buy tickets at the door if you want. And there's a meet and greet moment where you can also get some little goodie bags from us. And it's going to be a freaking blast. I'm very excited about it. I just took a screenshot of both of our names together in this Zoom, if anyone's wondering what I'm doing there. Rob, thank you so much for being here. Everyone, go check out Rob's podcast, Vanderpump Robs. You can find it anywhere you get podcasts, right?
Yes, anywhere. And if you love it that much, you can also join the Patreon at patreon.com/VanderpumpRobs.
Yes. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for listening. And hopefully we'll see you on the 30th, March 30th. All right. Bye.
Girls, I don't know what you wanted me, but I ain't never seen a shawty that look like a double G. Every girl in here 10, but it ain't no Tennessee. And you might just get some money, but it ain't no guarantee. Double G's on the left, double G's on the right. And you know I stay in Texas, I don't really like to fight. Like we in 2013, shawty do it for the vine. Shawty moving real well, I might have to wind and dine. Threw the money to the center, now watch it hit the flow. Now rack it up, rack it up, king bag it up. Bag it up, king stack it up. Stack it up, she said where you at? Sam Marcus down in Texas. And if I drop a pen, best believe that she on the way. Thought she was important, but I'm moved to write about the way. Delta G's tonight. told her, baby, I got cheese tonight. Get a scholarship. I ain't smoking on no THC, low tolerance. All these ladies telling me I'm finna blow. Like to tell her, shout out TurboTax, tax refund. What's another? Like the quarterback at recess, no rush. You gon' end up like a Call of Duty mission, no rush. This ain't UT, why your shirt orange like a pumpkin? Mama called me, asked me how college is. I said, bus.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.